what you want, tell me what you see, where you wanna go, what you wanna be. If you have a dream, you can make it there with a lot of work and a lot of prayer. If you take your time, gotta be precise, gotta have a plan, devil check it twice. Wait, hold up, slow down, devil need advice. Someone's gone before, maybe talk to them, then after you do, go and talk to him. Wait, it's gonna come, maybe not tonight, take your time today, teacher's looking bright.
Got a lot of friends, made a lot of ends, Twitter, you the trend, team of Bentley Benz, but she moving kinda fast. Keep sweating, you gotta make it last, live every day like it's your last, but don't forget to have a blast.
Welcome to Time Out. I am your host, Sylvia Crowley, and today is going to be a different kind of show. I want to start out by saying when my producer approached me about doing this radio show, at the time I was trying to pursue a career as a sports analyst, and I thought, cool, having my own show could help me sharpen my communication skills for commentating. And so I am pleased to announce that after beating down every door, only to have every door slammed in my face each time, I am now a commentator for the Women's Basketball American Athletic Conference. And this is a fairly new conference which consists of Louisville, Rutgers, Cincinnati, Temple, South Florida, Central Florida, Houston, and Memphis are also in that conference. And so there are several teams within 2 hours of where I'm located, so I'm excited about being able to travel in and out in the same day and be back in time for Zumba the next day. So, and I'm also waiting to hear back from ESPN on a few more games. So some will be digital, some will be on TV, but I'll keep you posted as to how and when you can tune in for that. Now, the other reason why I wanted to host this show was to inspire people. So I remember saying to my producer, Vic, who would tune in to hear me week after week? And he said, actually, when you were a guest on our No Chasers show 2 times, the numbers were off the charts. And then he said, even if only 2 people tune in, if you're able to reach and inspire them, then it's worth it. So I thought, okay, with all the negative news in the media, I'll bring on guests to inspire and encourage the listeners with their stories and even talk about relevant topics that people want to address. So for tonight's show, we will do a movie review. And so movies seem to be a trending topic right now on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, especially with the release of The Best Man Holiday. So for the sake of not spoiling it for those who haven't seen certain movies, we'll discuss The Best Man first, and then any other movies that people saw and thought were good, and then around 7:20, I'm going to try to time it up perfectly, around 7:20, we'll make a shift towards 12 Years a Slave for the people who have seen that movie. So we're going to start now with The Best Man Holiday. If you don't want us to spoil it for you, I suggest you put the phone down, tune back in around 7:20, and then we'll start to talk about 12 Years a Slave. But before we start, I want to play a trailer for you for The Best Man Holiday. And so this is simply the trailer that has been on all the commercials and everything. So the people who didn't want it to be spoiled for them, I don't understand what they're talking about because they've been watching all the trailers, so they know the funniest parts anyways. But here it is, the trailer for The Best Man. I'm trying to pull it up. Of course, my iPhone is acting extremely slow. Okay, excuse the commercial that they put on before it starts. Okay, here it goes. My producer's giving me a hard time because I didn't let him know ahead of time.
In New York.
This is great.
Brian McDonald, Harper Stewart.
Hi.
Hey, baby. Brian McDaniels. I like to ski in Vermont.
Shut up, Harper.
I like dating chocolate girls.
No more pretending.
This is where you're going.
I just wanted it to be a surprise.
Oh, yeah. Harper's good for that.
Be a long ass weekend.
We used to be best friends. You're my boy, and I miss you.
I'm thinking if you guys still warm each other up.
It's Christmas, and I'm willing to give, and I'm willing to receive.
Okay, so hopefully you could hear it okay, but I just wanted to refresh some of your memories about certain points of the movie that we will discuss. So let me start by saying that when I went to see The Best Man Holiday this Friday, I was with a group of friends from my church, and we were going to dinner and a movie for my friend's birthday. So we got tickets in advance, and we had seats saved so that we can all sit together. And when we got there, I thought the movie was great. I mean, we were laughing, and then there were other parts where we were crying, you know, and then there were some serious parts, serious issues that they touched on. But they went through an array of issues such as sex, secrets, surprises. I mean, I'm known for going to sleep in a movie. I go to the movie to get a really good nap. I get some of the best naps in the theater. But for this movie, I barely blinked an eye. Taking a nap was the furthest thing from my mind, which is surprising to the people who know me best. But that's how engaging this movie is. Now, what I struggled with was that there was a character that was battling cancer. And my brother is also battling cancer, so I really had a, I don't know what you want to call it, but I was just crying, bawling my eyes out. Everybody was crying. I mean, you heard nothing but sniffles and people blowing their noses. I mean, it wasn't just me, but given that this hit home for me, I was an emotional wreck, and so finally, I just got up and left out of the theater. Like, that's how bad I was going through it. And so I couldn't stand to see the ending of the movie. I text all my friends. We were supposed to do dinner afterwards at Red Lobster. I was done for the night. I text everybody. I said, I'm sorry. I hope I didn't ruin your birthday. I had a card for you. I'll bring it to church on Sunday, but I am done for the night. And so it really caught me off guard. I actually posted for people to just know that it was, you know, a sad movie if you had anyone pass away during the holidays or, you know, anyone struggling or battling cancer. And so there were a lot of people that were mad at me for kind of spoiling the plot of the movie for them. However, I felt like people need to be warned. I needed to be warned. I was not expecting that. I had on the colors. This is funny. My friends are laughing at me because, you know, the promo that they had for this movie, everybody kind of had on red and khaki. Those were their holiday colors to promote this movie. So you saw Nia Long with a red scarf, and somebody had a red hat, and somebody had, you know, a red jacket. So I had on my red and khakis when I showed up for the movie because I thought, yay, we'll take pictures, you know, we'll post them. Honey, when I got home, I had eyeliner running down my face. I looked a hot, hot, hot mess. So that was my best man experience. I think it's a great movie. You know, if you're not dealing with any of those things, then you'll probably think it's great if you haven't seen it. But it broke me down. So I don't know if we have anybody on the line that want to share their experience. My producer is screening the call. So, Vic, do we have anybody that wants to share their best man holiday experience?
I think a lot of time, but I'd be willing to share because
okay, go ahead, Vic.
I mean, not was a man. I am a man, and I went to the movies and saw this with my wife. You're absolutely right. Again, spoiler alert. This movie, it brings out a great deal of emotion in many different ways because for me, I saw a lot of my friends and all of us as characters in that. I was either Taye Diggs or I was Terrence Howard III. One of our best friends looks like Morris Chestnut, but likes him. And for the late, just for the late, Morris is topless and he looks real good, so y'all go for that. But not to spoil it for you, but there's a lot of ebb and flow in this movie. I mean, I was thoroughly impressed with the writers and how they portrayed the characters. One spoiler part, and if you didn't see it, I'm not going to tell you when it happens, but when she took off that wig, I saw my mother, and I was very, very sad at that point. But within this movie, and you went with your friends, Sylvia, so I understand. Mm-hmm. You probably saw some of your friends in that movie, your relationship, how everybody's different, but everybody still has the same circle, but they hadn't been together for X amount of years, whatever the case may be. But I can tell you right now, my wife and I caught myself tearing up a couple times. I was laughing my butt off a few times, and I could have sworn that one little girl was Terrence Howard, but I don't know. Stick around for after the credits. Stick around for after the credits,
okay.
Ladies and gentlemen. Don't leave.
Well, Vic, I want to ask you, why did it remind you of your mother when she pulled off the wig?
Well, my mom right now, she's about, 37? She's about 57 right now. And her hair and her health aren't what they used to be. And she's very ill. She's afraid that she has breast cancer. And she won't go to the doctor. Well, she'll go to the doctor, but she won't let the doctors examine her for that. And her brother, my uncle, he has cancer, and it was from smoking and drinking and all this other stuff that happened. So he's dying right now. She does not want to be around him. So when she did that, it hit me there, and I just said, that's my mother. You know, that's the way she actually looks with, you know, with that haircut. And it brought back all these thoughts of who it was that, you know, I was relating the characters to. So it was like that. And
And then you said something else. How did you feel like they portrayed the characters well? Like what particular part did you watch where you felt like, hey, they're doing a good job with these portraying these characters? Can you give us a specific example?
Yeah. I really don't dislike Morris Chestnut, but I disliked him in this movie. For, you know, most of the movie. Because he, now, this is a disclaimer, he, in this movie, behaves and is really one of my best friends. And I'm like Taye Diggs. And, you know, even though we didn't have that same type of issue, but that type of mannerisms, I mean, I didn't think that that's the way Morris Chestnut was. I just thought that was the character, and he portrayed it very well to the point that I disliked up until a certain point.
By the same token, I like Taye Diggs. However, by his character, I did not like him in the movie. You know, I didn't like how he was going about what he was doing. So I feel what you're saying about the characters. But go ahead and say what you were going to say about Terrence Howard.
Yeah, all these people love him. That dude is a fool. I mean, he's a very good actor because of the way he is in the movie. In the first one, you know, his character wasn't that bad, but in this movie, it was just off the chain. He was wild. And, you know, I just saw one of my friends acting just like that. Just like that. Don't want to settle down or nothing like that. And I do know a few people that got involved with adult entertainers and married them. So I saw that. I forgot my guy from Oz, but him and Regina, I think her name is Regina Hall or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that dynamic. That was a really good portrayal, you know, being the little geeky guy and all that. And everyone, whether you're black, white, or whatever, you have a friend who's dated outside of their race. And you've given that.
Right.
Oh, really? So I've seen that. And it was really, it really hit home. And all of those characters I know, but I didn't know them as the previous characters. They brought me back to the 15 years ago movie that came out. And
right.
You know, they kept it, honestly, in my opinion. But we do have a caller if you want to get to that call.
Well, I think Terrence Howard, I felt like they allow him to go off script a little bit and just kind of add his own sense of humor to it. You could tell because it was just way too funny to have been scripted. So I used to didn't like his characters because he's always like the jerk in every movie, you know. But in this movie, he sort of played a jerk, but it was in a funny way. And it was much needed to complement how heavy some of the other issues were. So I really appreciated his character. And a few times where I really got to just throw my head back and do a hard horse laugh, you know. I really enjoyed his character. And then I agree with you about Nia Long and her boyfriend because they touched on the whole blurred lines issue, which is interracial dating. And so, you know, I think at one point in the movie they even call him Robin Thicke, you know, as a joke. So they really touched on a lot of issues, and they hit them quickly and just moved on to the next one and the next one and the next one. So it just really holds your attention for those who have a short attention span like me and are suspect to fall asleep in a movie. So we do have someone on the line, but I think they're wanting to talk about 12 years. So we will get to them in just a second. But I wonder if you saw, Vic, any other movies that you thought were good movies to go see. And we'll talk about those in a way where we won't spoil them so that people can actually go out to see them. Have you seen any other good movies?
Yes. I did a daddy-son date, and I went to go see Thor. Now,
wait,
Thor,
back up. How was Daddy's – there's Daddy's Sunday? What did you
date.
Say it's called?
I don't call it a date. See, my wife likes to call them dates. I say hang out. You know, I'm really
What was the
myself.
Name of the movie?
Thor.
No, the first one you said.
No. I was saying my son and I went on a daddy date.
Oh, a daddy date. Okay. And you went to see Thor.
Yeah.
I saw Thor, too. So tell me what you thought about it first.
First of all, again, all this male up top nudity and bikini line nudity, got to cut it out, movies. I know we're trying to draw the ladies in, but can't do it. Hemsworth, you know what? The commercials and the trailers don't give this movie justice because I thought it was very well put together. I thought it was an action-packed flick. Now, the issues of love and saving the world and all of the good stuff were in there. But the characters had me rolling, just had me, like, dying laughing, especially the professor and stuff like that. But contrasting the two movies, I go from an ebb and flow movie that brings me up and down, to a movie such as Thor that it had its moments where, because I'm a sci-fi guy, too. If you're not in the sci-fi or in the comic books and stuff like that, you might not like it or you might not get to it. But the action and the romance that Thor and the young lady have, it keeps your attention, in my opinion. So it was good, but I would definitely put Best Man Holiday above it for general viewing purposes. But I thought it was
right.
Okay.
Now, let me say this. I am not a comic person, you know. I wasn't in the comic books, or I'm not one for the whole Superman movies and stuff like that. However, I went to see Thor, and I liked it. I like Thor. Now, I will say that if you go see Thor, see it in 3D, not 2D. They'll give you both options.
Yeah.
You want to see the 3D movie, even though you got to wear those corny glasses, but it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, like, the action scenes, the fighting scenes were very entertaining, very realistic. I did not think it was a kid-friendly movie. There were a lot of kids there when I went, and there was a kid actually to my right, okay? So because they were sitting right beside me, I was very conscious of whether or not it was kid-friendly. I think if this kid wasn't sitting next to me, then I wouldn't have thought about it that way. But because I was sitting right next to a kid, there were certain parts that I felt uncomfortable sitting next to a kid watching this movie. I was thinking, my goodness, people have their kids in here. But anytime there seems to be like a superhero movie, people think it's kid-friendly and they take their kids out, but I was thinking in my mind, like, if my nephew Xavier was here, I'd be covering his eyes and his ears right now. At least three times during the movie, there were three parts where I felt like, I don't know if this little kid next to me should be watching this. So just be aware,
parents. Can I comment
on that real quick? Go ahead.
Can I comment on that?
Go ahead.
Two things. You're absolutely right about what you just said, and I'm glad we're talking about this before you jump to the next movie. These comic book characters that come to the big screen, they're made for our age group, the 27, 30-ish people, because we grew up on comics and these superheroes. And PBS, Public Broadcasting Station, did a series on this and how comic books have evolved into adult. They don't leave Superman just saving Lois Lane anymore. Superman and Lois Lane have a baby and stuff like that, and they brought it to the big screen. So when you take these kids, and I'm guilty of it because I love these cartoon characters and comic books, and I took my oldest son with me, when you take these kids to these movies, you got to watch out for the language, for what's happening on the screen as far as nudity or behavior, and you know, realize that they're not made for 10, 11, you know, even 12-year-olds. They're made for the more 17, 18-year-old folks, even though they're a PG-13 movie. So
right, it is classified as PG-13, but,
correct.
You know, and parents, you know your children. So if your kids are at home watching things way worse than that, then maybe they can handle it. I don't know. That's up to you. But I wouldn't recommend anyone under, you know, 13. And if they're like, you know, if your kid is an immature, like a true 13, then you may want to wait until they're like 17, 15 to get the DVD and watch it later. but that's my take on Thor. I thought it was a good movie. Coming from somebody that's not a superhero comic book or I'm not even a sci-fi person. I like real stories based on a true story, drama, stuff like that. But my husband's so into Superman, Batman, Thor, anything like that. So I just went with him, you know, and I was thinking, I'll just take a good nap. I'm the nap bandit at the movies. but I didn't go to sleep on that one either, so I think I'm getting better. My cousin, Angie, who is on the line, will be very proud to hear this from me. Anyways, let's transition because I promised people at 7:20, we'll be transitioning into 12 Years a Slave. I just saw that movie last night. I did not cry as much on that movie as I did The Best Man Holiday. However, I did shed a tear. I spent more time just being, I don't know if I was angry or disturbed, but I just felt like, you know what? These people have been getting 12 plus years of free labor, you know, off the backs of slaves. And, I mean, it was just heartless beatings that were going on. And it was action-packed. I did not fall asleep not for one second on that movie either. But I was really disturbed. I really struggle with movies like The Help and Rosewood and even The Django, you know. I think after the two movies that I've just watched, I need a comedy really quickly. I'm counting on Kevin Hart to just give us a good holiday comedy because these two movies, Oh, I've been on an emotional roller coaster. But I thought 12 years a slave was very intense. I think, in my opinion, they should win some awards for this movie. I don't even know the name of the main actor. I never know actor and actresses' names, but the leading guy, he needs an Academy Award for this because he really did a good job of, I mean, I felt like I was in that time era, you know, and that I was a part of that time frame and I was right there with him. I mean, I felt like I was, you know, almost one of the slaves, you know. I could put myself in his shoes, and he did a really good job of just kind of drawing in people who were watching the movie, I thought, from beginning to the very end. He stayed in character the whole time. I love the female, I can't even remember her character name, but I thought she did an incredible job. And I've seen pictures of her on red carpet, and she is absolutely beautiful. I mean, stunning. And so what I thought was really different about this movie as opposed to many other movies about slavery is that the slave master actually picked the darkest skinned woman to be his mistress, when normally they would normally pick like the very fair skinned kind of mulatto, person or slave to be their mistress. So this was much different, I thought, in that regard to most other movies in this category that I've seen. So I thought that was interesting. And I think, I don't know if that has something to do with just our society and how things are shifting and people are embracing dark skin more and natural hair more. And I don't know if it's just a sign of kind of where we are as a society or and why they consciously made that choice or if it was conscious. But I thought it was interesting. I have Andre on the line from area code 404. Andre, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Andre. Can you tell us your thoughts on the movie 12 Years a Slave and your reaction to it when you watched it?
Before I went to go see it, a lot of my friends were like, you know, get your mind right, get ready for the movie. And I said, it's got to be a bit much. You know, we all have seen Roots, so how much different could this be? And they were right. It was very real and very hard to watch. Unlike yourself, at the end, even though I tried my best not to cry in the movies, but at the end, what kind of made me tear up was how it ended. I just felt like that putting myself in that situation, losing that many years of your life was just devastating. Another thing that I learned that I thought was kind of interesting in the movie was that one of the mistress was a black woman.
Mm-hmm.
One of the slave owners seemed to have married a slave, and I thought that I didn't quite understand that, which was interesting because I would never thought that would come about. And also, just to piggyback on what you said a little earlier about the time shifting and things, I think the reason why did the slave master pick a darker-skinned woman was just that's what happened. I think in the past, we could only tolerate or palate a fair-skinned woman, but majority of these slaves were dark-skinned folks. So I think what we saw was just the truth. There was probably more slave masters sleeping with darker-skinned women than slave masters sleeping with the mulattoes, because a lot of the mulattoes was already their kids.
Right. Yeah, I really thought it was an interesting turn when you saw, I can't even think of her name, Woodard. I think it's Alfre Woodard. She was a mistress of a slave owner, and, you know, she lived very well. She was having tea on china, on, like, fine china. They had their pinky fingers up. You remember that
scene? Yeah.
And so she was basically trying to tell the other slave who was a mistress of her master, you know, like, sometimes you got to bear with some things early in order to, you know, become the prize wife or whatever. And so she was trying to coach her through kind of that lifestyle of how to deal with it and what to take and that kind of stuff. So, I mean, I think that is a whole Yeah, I think that's a whole nother story in and of itself to tell. Like, I would like to see a movie about that.
Yeah,
know?
exactly. Because
that's
we don't
a story
untold.
That. Yeah, that's
but
a
you know
story
what
untold. Go
what
ahead.
Also I saw in that was the young lady, even though she was, quote, unquote, the chosen one, she was in a very tough spot. She walked a tightrope through most of the movie, you know. And at some point, you know, she went to, and I don't want to give away the movie, but she went to a fellow slave for help, and the fellow slave was like, I'm not going to help you with that. But it showed that even though we all look at this, everyone would look at this the slave as the chosen one, she's the one that the slave master loved, she lived a life of torment because she wasn't safe anywhere. The wife hated her. The slave master ended up turning against her. You know, she wanted out any way possible. So I found that to be interesting. How you would think that she was the chosen one and she would have this nice, loving life that she had on the plantation. There was nothing loving about it. The mistress hated her. The slave man used and abused and exploited her. And she just wanted no part of it.
Right. And I think as I watched it, I felt like, you know, even if she was the favorite one, but the person on top, there's normally a higher price to pay when you're on top. You know, there's
mm-hmm.
more levels of, you know, burdens, more, you know, and it's in our society. The more you get paid, the more level of stress there is, the more expectations there are on you. So she had to perform. She picked the most cotton every day, more than the men,
mm-hmm.
more than the leading, I can't even pronounce his name, but whoever the leading actor was, he had only
yeah.
been a slave for a year, so he wasn't skilled at picking cotton. He only got like 100 and something or 200
yeah,
something more
yeah.
for cotton. She had 500 and something pieces of cotton that she picked daily, you know, and so she became very valuable to him, and he, you know, fell in love with her, or I don't know if it was love, or she, you know, she just became the main slave for him. But it was just a higher, she had to lead by example every single day. And so the movie, it really, really let me see how, you know, some of the effects of slavery that is left on African Americans mentally and physically, how it's passed down even today. You know, I know I've seen people down south eat their dinner sitting on their porches. And they probably
oh, yeah.
don't even know why they do that. You know, they probably saw their mom do it and their mom's mom do it and their mom's dad do it, you know, and they're still doing it. Some because the conditions inside of their house, like maybe they don't have air condition or it's better outside than it is inside, you know. But there are certain things that we still do to this day because it was done back in those days. And it's a mentality that's passed
mm-hmm.
down from generation to generation. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, and it's something that you know, if you don't learn your history, you'll repeat it. It's something that we need to know more about. And it's not really about placing blame and I'm upset with you or those kind of things. It's just about learning what really took place. When I grew up in school, they mentioned probably slaves in a paragraph, and then they went from slaves to Martin Luther King. There was a lot of stuff that took place in there that, like you said, we're still dealing with to today at this very time in some way or another. That when I looked up the word Holocaust in the dictionary, you saw the Jewish Holocaust, but this is truly, slavery was truly, I feel, African-American Holocaust. Many Africans died, you know, not just when they came to our country, but in the passage here, died on the way here. So that truly is our Holocaust, and I think more attention needs to be given to that, and more education and knowledge about what actually took place needs to be done in that area, I think.
Right. I agree with you. I'm on my way to Africa. My parents and I are going to Uganda. And so as I'm preparing for this trip, this movie really tripped me out because as I'm preparing for this trip, I'm getting my immunization shots tomorrow. So I have to get malaria, yellow fever shots, and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm doing a DNA test to trace my ancestry to find out which part of Africa my ancestors are from. And
wow.
So I was working out at the gym the other day, and a guy came to me and said, "Wow, you are the tallest woman I've ever seen. How tall are you?" And I said, "I'm 6'5". He said, "Do you know where your ancestry's from?" He said, "Have you ever traced it?" I said, "Yeah, I have, but I can't get any further than South Carolina or Virginia for both of my parents because, you know, I'm on Ancestry.com. And so when I trace it, you can't go all the way back to Africa. The only way we can find out about our ancestry is through a DNA test.
Mm-hmm.
That's the
and
only
you know,
way
one,
we could do it.
One
go
of
ahead.
The reasons, one of the challenges people are having when they're trying to ask them questions, what I understand that they're having when they're trying to trace their heritage is that once they were slaves, they were property. So you list your property differently than you would list the one who's a human being, who you consider to be a human being. So it gets kind of hard to, once you get back into slavery, the records that were kept, you know, you're looking for a person, but at that time, these individuals weren't considered to be people. They were considered to be property. So at times they're maybe lumped together along with the cattle, so you can't find them.
Right, and if you can remember, in 12 Years a Slave, he didn't use his real name. The guy told him, whatever
exactly.
you do, don't tell him your name, and don't tell him that you can read and write, even if you can. So a lot of slaves, when they were brought here, they were separated. You saw the lady who had two kids, they separated her kids, you know, her from her kids.
Yeah.
And so families got separated, and they put them in groups together where they couldn't communicate. So they spoke a different language from the other slaves, you know, and they didn't want them to communicate, so they couldn't escape. They couldn't plot against the master. And so once people got scattered and just scattered all over the place, in addition to not keeping their real names, so now a lot of their last names, they took on their slave owners' last names. So when you go to look for somebody, we don't even have... And then we're not even going to talk about the people who were born with a certain name. Like my mom. My mom was born Sarah Blackwell. She didn't even have a middle name. Well, her name is Marie Crowley today. If you try to do a search on her, you probably can't. I can't get past my own mother. But so, I mean, there's a lot of African-American people who just, they had a complicated name. They changed it, you know, or, you know, people gave them a nickname. They start going by it, and that's what they go by, and you don't even know their real names. And so there's so many gaps where, you know, it's just kind of like, who are we? Where do we come from?
And if you don't have that determination to find out, you'll stop. You'll give up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, you will.
So it was just – go ahead.
I'm sorry, Sylvia. One of the things that pitched out, I wish they would have developed a little bit more, was there was a scene with the slaves and the Indians met, and I didn't quite – I mean, they seem to enjoy each other's company.
Yeah.
With that, but I wish they could have developed that a little bit more from just the little bit of knowledge that I have obtained throughout the years is that at times slaves had went to the Indian reserves for refuge. And that's kind of where a lot of, you know, us African-Americans say, yeah, I got a little Indian in me. I think that's a lot where it came from. A lot of slaves were running to these reservations, from what I understand, and they were seeking refuge there. And they start intermixing and, you know, having relationships with the Indians, and things came about. But I wish they could have developed that seed a little bit more. It was just they saw them, and then they started having a little hold-down kind of a thing. I didn't quite understand it. That was the only part I was
And, you know, there's a book to this, so obviously the book gives you more detail because, you know, you only have 2 hours to put together a movie. So I'm sure if you read the book, you can dig more into that part. But I immediately, when I saw the Indians, I thought, oh, goodness, they're going to hook up with them and they're going to run away, you know. I was ready for that part. But you're right. They just showed they had a little – they play some music and they dance, and that was the last you saw of the Indians, you know?
Yeah, I was there.
And the look on the Indians' face when they saw the Africans, you know, it was just kind of like, oh, my. So you thought something was going to happen, and then it didn't. So, yeah, I was a little disappointed at that part as well, Okay, well, thank you, Andre. If you think of anything else, because as we talk about things, you'll start to remember, oh, there's one more thing I thought of. So if you think of anything else, just press 1 and we'll put you back through, okay?
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, so I'm excited about my trip to Uganda, Africa, and I'm actually tracing, like I said, doing a DNA test, and I'm reading a book. It's called The Sports Gene. Very, very interesting book. It talks about different sections of Africa, and the part I've read so far just talks about how the west part of Africa specializes in endurance, and then the east part of Africa, people are trained, their short twitch fibers are trained, just in terms of how they work, where they travel, you know, whether it has heels or straight paths or whatever, but they have short twitch fibers for speed. And so some of the quickest athletes in the world, like Bolt from Jamaica, is from that section of Africa, you know, and that's why he's the fastest man in the world right now, you know. And then in the south, they were built strong, like just muscular and, you know, bigger boned, and their bone structures were bigger. And so it's very interesting when you read it to think about, you know, yourself and your family and kind of how you're built and wired and things like that. So I'm really, really getting into this, and that's why the movie 12 Years a Slave was just hitting me really, really hard, because I'm dealing with all these things as I'm preparing for this trip to Africa. So that was very interesting. We have another caller, Dietri from area code 410. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here.
Okay, we can hear you loud and clear. Can you
okay,
tell us
great.
About your thoughts on 12 Years a Slave and your reaction to the movie?
Well, my thoughts on 12 Years a Slave, I feel that it was the most realistic portrayal of slavery that I have seen personally. I think that as I look back, I'll be 50 next year, so as I look back at Roots and when Roots came out, I think that was an important important series for its time, and I think that that's probably as much as America probably could have taken about slavery at that time. But now I feel that 12 Years a Slave was really a more realistic representation of what happened on a plantation. For me, it was very traumatic to watch it. I'm glad that I went. I don't think that it's a movie that everyone can see, because for some of my friends, they said that they wouldn't go and see it because it would make them too angry or upset. I went to go see it with my son, who's 23, and we had a similar response to it. The interesting thing is my last name is actually Epps, and that was the name of the plantation owner, the slave owner in the movie. So when they said Epps, I turned around and looked at my son. I said, did they just say F? And, you know, so that was my last name. So, I mean, that is my last name. And so for me, when that was mentioned in the movie, it just brought home the fact that we really don't know our names. We have slave names. I mean, it just brought it home to me so much so that I kind of, like, dissociated from the movie for a minute and was just like, oh, my God, it just took me to a different place for a few moments in the movie of thinking about the fact that, you know, that I have this name connection to this person in the movie, and then that, and not even the movie, it's the real life name of the slave owner. So, so for the first, like, 20 to 30 minutes, it was very traumatic for me. My stomach was, like, in a knot the whole, you know, for first 30 minutes of the movie, because it was very troubling.
And Dietri, you bring up a good topic about last names, because we do a lot to protect our last names or to carry our last names, and in our families in the African American community put a lot of emphasis on last names, you know. And just as I got married within the last year, there was this whole conversation about what name I would take on, you know, if I would keep my maiden name or if I would take on my husband's last name, which is Milbury. And when you think about it, we don't even really know what our last names are, probably.
Right.
You know, we've taken on the slave master's last name. So these aren't our names. And so why do we
right.
hold on to these names with such pride? And, you know, now I guess at some point in time when slaves were becoming free, maybe that was a big deal in order to, once slaves were released, to try to, that was the only identity kind of that you had to kind of find someone else within your group, you know, or who was in the same house with you. Maybe you took them on as family. I don't know. You know, maybe it stems back to that and there is some importance to it. But, you know, when you think about women who get married and they're taking on their, you know, they're giving up their last name, and sometimes their families from their maiden name feel like, well, you know, you should keep your last name and you're the last of this generation and after you there aren't any more. Well, it's just a name. It's not our name, you know. So that's a huge issue.
Yeah. It's all the name that we have. It's all the name that mm-hmm. we have. And I've been thinking about doing the DNA test as well to really be able to know on my maternal side, at least, you know, where I would be connected to, in what part of Africa I would be connected to. And I've decided that, I keep saying I'm going to do it, but I've decided for my 50th birthday I'm going to go ahead and do that. And I will say my son asked me a very relevant question after he kind of got home, and he asked me, so what do we do with this movie? What do we do with this? Because we were very impacted by it, but he just was like, what do we do with this? And so he asked such a good question that I began to think about what I would do with it. And so I kind of, if you don't mind, I'd like to share it with you, what kind of like what I came
Please
up with,
do.
What I would do with it. So the first thing I said that I'm going to do is to realize that slavery was a real real event and the impact that it has on America even today. So realize the impact of slavery on today. And then I said that I would kind of work to make sure that I don't carry the slave mentality into my day-to-day life, because sometimes we can do that, fall into that subservient role as African-Americans, particularly African-American women. And then I also said that I would act to make sure that others are informed that this was a real event in our history that was very, you know, traumatic, and make sure that we're able to help others to realize that they can also kind of move away from the slave mentality and work to achieve their dreams, whatever they have, in spite of what our history is in America. So those are a few. Mm-hmm. He asked me a really good question, and that's what I came up with.
And I want to add one. I think those are all really good points, and I'm actually glad that you wrote that down. I think more people should do that. But I would add on to that to not duplicate the hatred that was displayed mm-hmm. through slavery. You know, a lot of times movies like this, it brings up a lot of ill feelings that maybe whites had
yeah.
towards blacks or blacks have towards whites because of what happened. It's important to realize that the white people that I know today, they didn't do that. They weren't the slave
right.
owners. You know what I mean? So I can't hold against them for what people before them did, you know?
Right.
And then also, I can't reciprocate that hate. As I watched that movie, I hated the act of slavery. I hated that people would be so heartless, not the people, but just the institution of slavery itself. I hated that people could be so heartless to treat human beings like animals, less than animals even
right.
at times. And so if I if I'm hateful towards white people, I am no better than the people that I saw in that movie or the slave owners that enslaved people.
Right.
And
right.
so to not duplicate that same hatred, you know, that's how we move forward as a country, whether you're white or black, you know. So, I mean, I think it's important to show movies like this so that we do understand our history, but I think you have to keep everything into perspective so it doesn't bring up a whole lot of ill feelings and make you feel like, see, that's why I don't like black people, and that's why I don't like white people,
right.
You know. We can't go back there, but just use it as a teaching tool and a learning lesson.
I agree.
So thank you. Thank you for those points. Those were some really good points. I'm going to put you on mute, and then if you think of anything else, just press 1, and we'll put you back on. But I do want to encourage you, Dietrich, to get the DNA test. It's on sale for $99 right now. And so, and Ancestry.com, they sent me a little ad for the $99. So if you go on their website, you'll be able to find that special. It's normally 100 and something. It's much more expensive because I've tried before, but they're having a special. Now, you kind of touched on a subject that I think is an interesting subject. It's of Africans and African Americans, because sometimes, I mean, as I traveled to 16 different countries playing professional basketball, I've had several African teammates. And so there was tension at the beginning of the season when we first met because they felt like I wasn't African. You know, they felt like I was African. They felt like I was American, first of all. Just don't even use that African title. I'm American. And so it was interesting because as time went on and we had to work together in order for our team to win, you know, which is why I love sports, because it brings all cultures, all language, people with different languages. It brings everybody together. It doesn't matter what you believe in religiously or anything, but sports kind of bring you together for one goal. And so we were forced to work together. And in working together, we learned each other. And so I had a teammate named Psycho, and I let her know right away, like, Psycho in English means you're crazy, and she matched up to her name in English. She was crazy, but her personality was crazy. But we became really, really close to the point that it was almost like my biological sister. We could communicate without words. We could see a person in the airport as we were flying to a game and think the same exact thing and just look at each other and fall out laughing. We had a complete sentence that we said with one look. And so she invited me to her house for dinner one time, and I was really nervous because I had no idea what they were going to cook. And her mom cooked fish. I mean, and it was literally a fish on a plate with an eyeball looking at me. And her mom, she had to translate for her mom because her mom spoke Swahili, and she said, my mom said that you're welcome to any part of the fish, and I had to eat first, and her only request is that I didn't eat the eyeball. And I said, tell your mom, no worries. I did not want the eyeball. But her mom, during the course of the dinner, said things like, I brought you in this world, and I take you out. And I said, what did your mom say? Her neck was moving. And she said, it's an expression. She's like, I don't know how you say it in English, but it was like she gave birth to me and she has the right to take me out of this world. And I said, she brought you in this world and she can take you out? She's like, yeah, something like that. I mean, we had the same expressions. You know the little games that you play as a little girl when you say, oh, we beat walking down the street and you clap your hands. They have the same ones. She's from Africa. They have the same exact ones. And so throughout the course of our season, what we realize is we are really very, very similar. I mean, all the, you know, I thought that as slaves, when we came here, we created this African-American culture and our own dances, our own music, our own clothing and how we dress. But that is far from the truth. A lot of things we have really retained, and what a credit to us given everything that we've been through in terms of slavery, but we really did a really good job of retaining a lot of the African culture, a lot of things that we say, a lot of things that we wear, a lot of dances that we do come straight from Africa. And so what me and my teammate learned is that we are sisters. I am African. I'm African-American, not just American, you know. But I started out that season feeling like sometimes, you know, I feel like I don't really, you know, people in America can trace their roots to Europe or, you know, wherever, Asia. But we can't trace our roots back to anywhere because a lot of our history was lost. And so I felt like I didn't have a home, you know. But when I met her and I realized we have a lot of similarities, we have retained a lot of African culture, she embraced me as an African by the time I left there. She acknowledged that I was an African who was born in America. And I suddenly felt like I do have a home. If somebody said, go back to where you came from, I have a place to go, you know. And so I was so grateful for that experience, and I thought about all that as I was watching 12 Years a Slave, you know. So I think it's important that we continue to show movies and shed light on things like that so we can figure out who we are, our history as a nation, you know, everybody, not just black people or African-American people, but everybody, so we can understand and deal with it at the root. Okay, let's see. I got off on a tangent. We have some other people on the line. We have Gloria who wants to talk about a movie that she saw, Area Code 919. Gloria, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you?
I'm good. So I understand, Gloria, that you are traveling on the road, so hopefully we've helped to pass your time away a little bit as you're traveling.
Yeah, I'm at home now.
Oh.
So I did get home.
Okay. So can you tell us what movie you saw recently and your thoughts about it and your reactions towards it?
The last movie I saw was The Butler, and I thought it was a great movie. I was really impressed with the lineup of actors and actresses that were selected for various parts. I felt like I could identify with a lot of what took place in the movie, being a native Washingtonian, born in the very early 60s. I lived there through the D.C. riots, through the Black Panthers and all the uprisings that went on, the various presidents. And it just really hit home for me because similar in the story, I had two brothers that were like night and day, and I had a dad that was a very strong black man, and some of the same conflicts that took place in the movies between the fathers and sons, and, you know, the mother always trying to be the mediator. I felt like that was very similar in my household. One of the other things you had touched on earlier about names I thought was interesting. My dad didn't know his real name. It was like he was in his 60s, and he lost his – he had to get his birth certificate, wrote to Richmond to get his birth certificate, and when it came back, his name was spelled completely different. His birthday was on a different day than he had been celebrating for 60 years. And
wow.
All we could attribute it to was the fact that his mother, a lot of times it's due to the lack of education that his mother had. All his years, he celebrated his birthday on May 8th, and his birthday was actually April 26th. But
she
had like 8 kids, so she was probably like, yeah, whatever, sometimes in May. And then the other thing was, his name was Lloyd Gordon. He'd been going by his entire life. All of his paperwork had Lloyd Gordon. And when he got his birth certificate, it was Larried, L-A-R-R-I-E-D, like married. And his middle name was Gardner, like spelled like the gardener in the farm. And it was just, and he didn't know what to do. He was like, well, I guess I have two birthdays now because I can't stop celebrating.
Wait a minute. My producer's from D.C. area, and his name is Victor Gardner. What part of D.C. are you from?
Northwest Washington, up near Cardoza High School. Because I was right by 14th Street.
Okay, Vic, this is your cousin Gloria. Let me introduce you. Gloria, this is Vic. Vic, this is Gloria.
Hey, Vic.
Gloria. How are you?
Hey, cuz.
I'm great.
No. Wait, hold on. I got to do an interview. You said Northwest D.C. Name a street, name a hood, name something, because I grew up in Northwest D.C.
Okay. Cardoza High School, that's where I went to high school. So my hood was Boston, Florida Avenue. I was raised two blocks from the infamous 14th Street, where the riots took place.
Columbia Road.
Get out. Yep.
No.
Okay. I'm going to have to get you each other's numbers so that you won't have a family reunion on the show tonight. But hey, you met a new cousin out of the show. So So,
but the
I'm
big thing I wanted to say about that movie is that it told me a lot how much we, how good we were at separating our lives from our job, and his job was so important to him and his livelihood that in spite of the fact that his child was all caught up in this Panther, you know, the Black Panthers and everything, he had to sit and listen to the conversations that the presidents had and endure all the things that they were saying and still keep a certain level of, you know, privacy and confidence, and how difficult that must have been for him to do, and so many of our ancestors to keep the secrets, to keep their families safe, and to keep their jobs. That's all I wanted to say.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought that was interesting with the contrast between him and his son. He played, his son felt like he lived life very safe. He didn't rock the boat. He didn't take a stand. And they did not want him protesting, and he was a very, he was an activist, you know, very outspoken, willing to take a stand and even go to jail or die for what he believed in. And I thought it was interesting how some of that started to rub off on the butler, because he went and actually took a stand for the workers to get raises every year, you know. So, you know, gradually you saw him within his own realm, though, take a stand.
Right.
So I thought that was an interesting kind of contrast that they had going back and forth with the movie. And I really enjoyed that movie. I think it's important to have movies like that because that was his story. And I think, you know, that's part of our history. And we have to tell it, even if, you know, we don't like the treatment of the people or whatever. But still, that is a part of our history, and that is his particular story. And a lot of these movies are based on a true story, and I would recommend people read that book as well, because, you know, the book's always 10 times better than the movie. But thank you, Gloria, for sharing that with us. And if you think of anything else, press 1, and we'll put you back through. And I'm glad that we could help your trip go much faster. So it's 8 o'clock. This is our time. I had no idea what I was going to do for today's show, but there was so much talk all over the internet about different movies that have been playing lately. And so I thought just at the last minute I called my producer. We were going to do something totally different. I said, you know what? Let's just talk about recent movies, you know. Let's do a movie review. He came up with the whole holiday movie review. So this has been interesting. If you can think of a topic that needs to be addressed, that you want to address, feel free to inbox me on Facebook. On my timeout page, you can find out what the next show is going to be about. So you can stay up to date on that Facebook page. If you haven't liked it already, we ask that you go to that page, timeout, and like our page. And then anytime we post anything, you'll automatically get those notifications. So I encourage all of you to, during the holiday season, you know, just stay warm, stay safe, forgive any family members that you have. Life is short. We have to stick together and be together and enjoy each other while we're here, enjoy our time while we're here. And also, during the holiday season, it's more about giving than receiving. Remember that. And I also want to close with some of the points that Dietrich made. She actually wrote down what she wants to take away from the movie, and she said that she wants to make sure that she doesn't carry that slavery mentality. And I also added to that we don't duplicate the hatred that existed during slavery. You know, let's love one another, whether that's white people, black people, Asian people, whoever. Let's just love one another and make this world a better place, but we have to do our part. That's my time. I'm Sylvia Crawley. You're listening to Time Out. I'm going to let Vic take us home with the theme music. Hit it, Vic.
Tell me what you want. Tell me what you see. Where you want to go. What you want to be. If you have a dream, you can make it there with a lot of work and a lot of prayer. If you take your time, gotta be precise. Gotta have a plan. Double check it twice. Wait. Hold up. Yeah. Slow down. Still gonna need advice. Someone's gone before. Maybe talk to them. Then after you do, go and talk to him. Great, it's gonna come. Maybe not tonight. Take your time today.
Got a lot of friends, made a lot of ends. Twitter, you the trend. Name a Bentley Benz, but you moving kind of fast. Keep sweating, you gotta make it last. Live every day like it's your last, but don't forget to have a blast.